Again, and we'll see how it goes this evening. As I was thinking, trying to get this thing situated on my ears, it made me start thinking about my ears, and I should have done a lesson on spiritually healthy ears. There's apparently something wrong with my ears. I can't get this thing to stay on there. But as was mentioned, we're doing a series over the next few days on being spiritually healthy. And I've titled this series, Time for a Checkup, Examining Our Spiritual Health. The idea being that just like we would go to the doctor for a periodic checkup, looking at different parts of the body, so too it might be a good idea for us to spiritually think about some different parts of the body and how those bodies or parts of the body are functioning in terms of our spiritual health. So that's what we're doing with these lessons. And with each of them, I've chosen just one section of Scripture that addresses that part of the body. So this morning we talked about eyes, spiritually healthy eyes, having good vision. And we used the parable of the Good Samaritan to talk about seeing and how it is that we see others. And so this evening we're going to move on to talk about another part of the body. And as we begin, I want to start with a question. And that question is, which medical professional do you think is the most disliked? That people dread going to the most? Typically, when you ask that question, the answer that resounds is, what? The dentist. Nobody wants to go to the dentist. I found this picture. And I don't know why it is that we have this mental picture of going to the dentist. You search for going to the dentist, and this is what you find. I don't know that any of us have actually had this dental experience. But yet, for some reason, this is what is in our minds, that we're going to sit down in the chair and that this is what's going to happen next. There's actually something that is recognized now medically that they call dentophobia, which is a medically recognized condition of being afraid of the dentist, being afraid of having someone work on your mouth. And what typically happens is that people get going in a cycle. They're afraid to go to the dentist because they don't want their mouth to be worked on. They then delay visiting the dentist, which then results in having serious dental problems. So they then go to the dentist and have this horrendous experience because they have all this intensive work that now has to be done. And they come away from that saying, well, see, I told you it's a horrible experience to go to the dentist. And so I'm not ever going to go back to the dentist again. And then the cycle just keeps repeating itself. And I think all of us just don't really like to have our mouths worked on. There's just something about the mouth that we just don't want someone messing with the mouth. So we have this fear almost of that happening. And so I want us to examine this evening, think about our mouths, think about the need for an exam on the mouth, but do so in spiritual terms. So we're going to be talking about our oral health tonight, but our oral health spiritually speaking. How healthy is your mouth? And I want to propose an exam of sorts to see how healthy our mouths are. And in order to do that, we're going to be in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 22 and then going into chapter 5. So you can either read along in your own Bible or all the verses will be on the screen in the English Standard Version. In this section of Philippians, it's talking about the new life that we are to have in Christ. And as part of having a new life in Christ, we are to have a new mouth, a mouth that does new things. And so that's really the context that we're going to be looking at here. So picking up in Ephesians 4 and starting in verse 22. Ephesians 4, 22. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, moving into chapter 5, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. So what we have in this reading from Ephesians is an old mouth being contrasted with a new mouth. That as part of the new life that we have in Christ, we have a new mouth. Now, we all know that physically speaking, it's not a new mouth. It's not the case that you get baptized and then you go to the dentist and the dentist says, oh, I see that somehow all of your cavities are gone and your gums are now healthy. And we know you have the same mouth that you previously had, but that mouth is to be used in new ways. That mouth is to be used in different ways. So this evening, I want us to have a little exam of sorts to see how healthy our mouths are spiritually. I want us to look at this reading and get a picture of what the old mouth looks like, and then get a picture of what the new mouth looks like, and then do some reflection thinking about which of these mouths do I have. On which side do I spend most of my time? So that's going to be the direction that we go. We're just going to look at each of the verses in this reading that deal with speech. So this is not an all-encompassing study of the verses we've just read. I'm just going to highlight the ones that talk about how we use our mouths, our oral health spiritually. First, we'll begin in verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood. This is the ESV. That's going to be the translation that I base it on. So put away falsehood. So falsehood is part of the old mouth. And with each of these, for us to try to get a pretty good picture, I'm going to consult several different translations and come up with a list of possible meanings and try to get a pretty good picture of both the old mouth and the new mouth. It can be kind of hard going from one language to another, doing sort of one-word translation things. So I'm going to consult a variety of translations, and we'll get some different words, a possible range of meanings. I was asking Micah about this in Spanish, going from Spanish to English. Of course, the New Testament is Greek to English. But I was asking him if he had any good examples for me, and he said that the sentence that he uses as an example is the sentence in English I can watch the children. I can watch the children. And he said, if you're not careful, that you can say in Spanish, I aluminum can wristwatch the children. So I don't know exactly what that would mean. I don't think that I want anyone aluminum can wristwatching my children. That doesn't sound like a good thing. But so it can be kind of hard to go from one translation or one language to another, especially when you're doing just sort of one word kind of thing. So I want to look at a variety of translations. The ESV, the New American Standard, the New Revised Standard, which is a good translation. It doesn't seem to get used that much. And then the NIV all translate this as falsehood. The New Living Translation, which is another good translation. When I ever get into doing some serious word study, I'm always surprised by how well the New Living actually does. It's a little bit more of a paraphrase, but they tend to paraphrase quite well. It translates it lies, and then the New King James has lying. So all those are pretty similar. So as we start to build our picture of the old mouth, that old mouth was a mouth of falsehood, lies, and lying. Let's look at verse 29. Verse 29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. That's what the old mouth would have been doing. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. And that's the way the English Standard Version as well as the New King James translates it. You may also have a footnote in your Bible, or maybe if you use a study Bible, that will say literally it's the word for rotting or rotten, something that rots. It's the idea of something that's perishable, like how we would think of perishable food that can rot, can decay, the idea of something that decays. We've probably all had the experience of going over to the refrigerator. You open up the door, you pull out the milk, and for some reason you decide to smell this milk, knowing maybe that it might be bad. We always seem like we're compelled to smell the rotten milk. It's rotting, it's perishing, it's decaying, it's corrupting. And so it's a word that can be used to talk about food or things that decay, and yet here it's used to talk about our speech. It's like our speech can do that. It can break down. It can decay. It can rot. I can remember having my first apartment, living out on my own, and I had a disposal in the sink. And I would put the food down in there, but I wouldn't always remember to turn it on. So I'd have to have somebody come over to the house and say, what is that smell? Where's that smell coming from? And we'd trace it back to where it is. And so we know food decays, it rots, it perishes. So the idea is that our speech can do that very same thing to people, to situations. It can tear down, it can destroy, it can corrupt. The New American Standard and the NIV translate this word unwholesome. It's a word that's not a healthy word, a word that's not a good word that would build up or would preserve. It's an unwholesome word. The NRSV translates it evil. The New Living Translation translates it a foul or abusive word or talk, speech. So let's add all of those words to our picture of the old mouth. So now the old mouth is one that engages in falsehood, lies, lying, corrupt speech, unwholesome speech, evil, abusive, or foul speech. The next verse we're going to look at is verse 31. Verse 31, which says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. There's six words in this sentence: bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, and malice. Words 4 and 5 are specifically words that refer to speech. Clamor and slander. Those are both words that refer to speech. type of words that you might say. The word clamor really means to cry out or an outburst. I kind of think about it for some reason like somebody who goes into the kitchen and they're trying to find that pot or they're trying to find that pan, and you just hear the big racket and the bang and the boom and something smashes. And I kind of think about it like that sort of a thing. It's an outburst. It's a crying out, the clamoring. And it would seem to be done out of anger, out of frustration. Look at all the words that are around it: wrath, anger, malice. And so this clamor comes out of that. The NIV translates it as brawling, which would give the sense of words spoken during some sort of a conflict or confrontation, brawling. Wrangling is another translation. Again, you get this idea of there being some sort of fight or argument. And the New Living translates it as harsh words. When we look at the next word in that sentence, slander, which is how most of the translations will translate it, this is really the word for blaspheme, which has the idea of something that ought to have a very high place, and yet we have tried to give it a low place. So when we read of someone doing something that's blasphemous or blaspheming, most often against God, that's the idea that God ought to be up here, but through something that we've said or done, it's as though we're treating God as though he's down here. It's blasphemous. But you can think about the same thing with people, really, because people are made in what? We're made in the image of God. And so all of us, we all humans, all people, we all occupy a place that's up here because God made us in his image. And yet the way we speak to people sometimes, or the way we speak about people, it's as though we're viewing them as being down here. And to do that is slanderous. That's slander. The idea of treating something low that should have be treated high. The New King James translates it as evil speaking. So let's add all those words that we just talked about onto our picture of the old mouth. Starting to look like a rather ugly mouth if you read through all of those words. The last one we're going to look at is over in chapter 5 and verse 4. Chapter 5 and verse 4. And there's three parts here of this verse that refer to our speech again. Filthiness, foolish talk, or crude joking. If you read the verses before this and you read the verses after this, both of within the context on either side, it's talking about sexual immorality. And so it would seem that that's the context here of this verse, that this kind of talk is some sort of inappropriate, what we might call innuendo, sort of inappropriate talk. I think about a situation where the guys go out to lunch and the waitress comes over to the table, and now here it begins. The inappropriate remarks and comments and even demeaning sort of things that may be said under the guise of joking or kidding or that sort of a thing. That first word, it can read filthiness, obscenity or obscene is how it also is translated. The New Living Translation translates it obscene stories. For the second one, foolish talk, you'll find that in several translations. Silly talk is how the New American Standard and the New Revised will read. And then for the last one, crude joking, vulgar talk, and then coarse jesting or joking is how several translations will have it. You think about something that's coarse. I think about something that's rough. It's like the opposite of something smooth, something graceful. It's the opposite of that. It's coarse. It's crude. So we now have our picture of the old mouth. I guess I should motion on this side if I'm trying to do anything with my hands. Falsehood, lies, lying, corrupt, unwholesome, evil, abusive, foul, clamor, brawling, wrangling, harsh, slander, evil, filthiness, obscene, foolish, silly, crude, coarse, and vulgar. Have you ever been to the dentist? And when you're sitting there in the chair, you look over at the wall, and there are just these terrifying pictures of people's teeth, as though they're trying to scare you into brushing and flossing, so that one day your mouth doesn't look like that. And it's almost as though we have that here in this reading. What an ugly mouth that is. Surely none of us in here want a mouth that would look anything like that. But fortunately, in Christ, there is an alternative. We have this new mouth, or a mouth that is to be used in new ways. So let's go through. We'll do the same thing now, looking at the contrasts. Obviously, in contrast to lies, we are to speak truth. Speak the truth with his neighbor, it says in verse 25. For we are members of one another. It's the idea that we're all connected. We're all together. That word member is often used in relation to the body in Paul's writings. That we are members of one another. And so we speak truth with one another. And that's how all of the translations read, as truth. So the new mouth is a mouth that's speaking truth in contrast to lies. In verse 29 of chapter 4, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, the verse goes on to say, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Instead of having words that are like that spoiled carton of milk that's rotten and decaying, we're to have words that build up. Not words that tear down, but rather words that build up, that encourage. So building up, good and helpful, or edification, words that edify. So we add that on to the picture of the new mouth. The new mouth speaks truth, it builds up, it speaks good and helpful words that edify. Well, verse 31 is where we saw the words clamor and slander. In contrast to that, verse 32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And I think it's reasonable to assume that this is offering us a sort of disposition or a way of being that our words ought to come out of, instead of words coming out of anger and wrath and malice. Our words come out of a place of kindness, tenderness, forgiveness. So we'll add all those words to our list. And then the last one was in chapter 5 that we looked at. In contrast to the filthiness, foolish talk, crude joking, instead of that, we're to be speaking words of thanksgiving. Now, this one to me doesn't seem quite as obvious, you might say. I mean, obviously, the contrast with a lie would be truth. Right? The contrast with tearing down would be building up. But what about this one? How are words of thanksgiving contrasted with the crude joking that we mentioned? Well, I would suggest that one way of thinking about that is when people are engaging in that sort of crude, coarse, obscene type talk, what is it that they're doing to another person? Well, really, they're putting down, they're belittling, and in doing that, what are they trying to do to themselves? Most often trying to somehow elevate themselves, make themselves look better or impressive. Or, well, in contrast to that sort of a lifestyle, we're to live a life of thanksgiving. And when we live a life of thanksgiving, who is it that we're really elevating? Well, it's not ourselves, but it's God. And we're realizing that all that we have comes from Him. So we don't use words that try to put ourselves on a pedestal or get us noticed or recognized or get the laugh at the party kind of a thing. But we use words of thanksgiving, elevating God and putting Him first in our lives. So we now have this full picture of the old mouth versus the new mouth. And as we try to do a little checkup on our mouths, I want you to take a few moments of reflection, prayerfully looking over those lists, asking yourself, which of these mouths do I really have? If I was to ask my friends, my neighbors, my family, which of these mouths do I have? What would that answer be? Which of these mouths are we using? And as we wrap up this exam for tonight, if you will, I want us to go over to James chapter 3, and those will be the last passages that we look at. James chapter 3. The chapter starts off by talking about teaching, and those who teach have to be careful of the words that they use. But then it goes on in James chapter 3 and verse 2 to say, "For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by so strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs?" And the reason that I bring this passage up in James at the end of our oral health examination tonight is because I think it serves to us as a good reminder that it's not so much the case of saying, "Well, I used to be over here, and then I became a Christian, and now I'm over here, and I have a healthy mouth." What we see in James is that this is a constant, ongoing, lifelong struggle to speak words from the new mouth as opposed to the old mouth. And that's an experience that unites all of us. The day after day, hard work of keeping that mouth healthy so that we can have the new mouth that glorifies God as opposed to the old mouth that glorifies ourselves. So how healthy is the mouth? How is your oral health in terms of your spiritual life? So far we've talked about the eyes this morning. Tonight we have talked about our mouths, and I want us to continue thinking throughout this week about how healthy are we spiritually. Tomorrow night we're going to be looking at the feet, so you can be thinking about your feet. What could your feet be doing for the Lord? That's what we'll be talking about tomorrow. Really the best thing that we can do with our mouths is to confess that Jesus is Lord. As it says in Romans 10 and verse 9, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But as we look at the book of Romans, we know that that's not the only thing we have to do. If you go back to that reading in Ephesians at the end of it, one of the things it says there is that there are people who speak empty words, or people who try to deceive you with words. And one of the ways that we might be deceived is by thinking that if we just confess with our mouth, that's all that we have to do. But even in the book of Romans, we see that that's not the case. If you go back to chapter 6, it speaks about what those who have confessed with their mouth have done. It says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." So if anybody here this evening needs to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and then go down into the waters of baptism, having your sins washed away, we can help you with that this very evening. Or if you have any other needs, please let that be known.